Dear fellow redeemed, who carry with you everywhere you go this promise that the Lord is with you like a mighty warrior. There are some parts of the Bible that are obviously songs. That's what the Psalms are. The whole book of Psalms is like a song book. There are some parts that are letters, like what the Apostle Paul wrote to those churches. There's some parts that are stories, like the ones you maybe learned in Sunday school. But what in the world is this? From Jeremiah chapter 20. What would you call this? You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord, for he rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. This is the word of the Lord, but what is it? Maybe you've seen in Bibles that sometimes they have a heading that tells you what it is. So I just screenshotted this from my Bible app, and in a lot of Bibles, they'll have a little note to tell you what you're reading. And that's not part of the original manuscript. That wasn't what Jeremiah wrote. God did not inspire the headings in your Bible. The publishing company puts that in afterwards, just so that you have a hint about what's going on here. And if you opened a new international version of the Bible, do you know what the heading would say on Jeremiah 20? It says, Jeremiah's complaint. Sounds about right, doesn't it? He starts out, Lord, you deceived me. He's complaining against the Lord. But before we are too quick to label Jeremiah a big crybaby, maybe we should ask, why is he complaining? So here's the story of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet about 600 years before Jesus. And the Lord called him, said, I want you to be my preacher. And your audience is going to be the city of Jerusalem. And the sermon is all terrible news, all the time. So I'm kind of using my imagination here to think of how this went, but if God is somehow getting the news to Jeremiah so he can tell everybody else, maybe something like this. Hey, Jeremiah, you know how the people in Jerusalem, how they trust in wooden idols, like good luck charms, but they don't trust in God? Yeah. And Jeremiah, you know how the people in Jerusalem, they always oppress the poor and the disadvantaged. They are not kind to one another. Yeah. And Jeremiah, do you know how they're all self-righteous and holier than thou all the time, even though in their private lives they're evil? Yeah. Well, if they keep that up, they're going to be headed to hell in a handbasket. So we got to stop what's going on. And here's how we're going to do it, Jeremiah. Tell everyone that a foreign nation is going to come to this city and surround it outside its walls, and they're going to siege the city until no one can get in, no one can get out, until everyone starves. And then, when they finally surrender, they're going to burn the place to the ground. That's the message. Have fun. Can you imagine if that was my message to you week after week? Mount Olive is terrible, and Appleton is terrible, and America is a garbage dump, and it's burning to the ground. I don't think that would go well. But that was God's message And Jeremiah did exactly what God wanted. And his life ended up something like a horror movie. So, for example, one time God told Jeremiah, this is how you're going to preach this message today. Go buy a clay jar, like a pot that you'd put a plant in. And hold it above your head and gather the people from all the political leaders, all the priests from the temple, all the religious people, gather them together and hold this jar above your head. And then this is what his message was. Say this to the crowd. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring a disaster on this place that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. For they have forsaken me and made this a place of foreign gods. Then God told them, then break the jar while those who go with you are watching, and say to them, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I will smash this nation and this city, just as this potter's jar is smashed and cannot be repaired. And Jeremiah did exactly what God wanted. This did not go well for Jeremiah. If anybody was going to be on his side, you'd think it was the priest, right? He's supposed to be on God's team. He's supposed to be on God's prophet's team. The priest's name was Pashur. And you know what he did? He arrested Jeremiah, dragged him downtown, publicly beat him, and then he put him in the stocks overnight. And the next morning, Jeremiah complained. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. Be a prophet, you said. It'll be great. It's not great, Lord. I've got open wounds on my back. My wrists still have bruises from being in the stocks all night. You deceived me, Lord. No wonder Jeremiah complained. He had every right to complain. Or did he? See, Jesus had something to say about this too. Jesus came later, but Jesus said something about suffering. He made the point in his preaching that I'm going to suffer. And we know how Jesus suffered with his persecution and his death on the cross, right? He said, I'm going to suffer. And you can be sure that if they don't like me, they're not going to like you. Jesus said, if the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, like a name for a demon, how much more the members of his household? He said, a servant's not above his master. If they persecuted Jesus, you can expect that if you do what Jesus wants, they'll persecute you. But that's no reason to complain. Remember, Jesus also said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice. Rejoice, he said, and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. And my first thought is, great idea, Jesus, but that's impossible. Who could do that? Who could be like Jeremiah, get beat up, put in the stocks, and then rejoice about it? Well, maybe it's helpful if we take Jesus' words and Jeremiah's story and compare it to another Bible story, the story of the Apostle Paul. Remember the Apostle Paul? He was a missionary after Jesus had come on the earth, and he was just like Jeremiah. God called him to be a preacher, just like Jeremiah, and his life was something like a horror movie, just like Jeremiah. And he was preaching the word in a Greek city of Philippi, this ancient town. And just like Jeremiah, he was doing everything God wanted. So one day he saw a woman who was possessed by a demon, and he healed her. And you'd think that the people would be thankful, but this did not go well for Paul. In fact, they arrested him, just like Jeremiah. They dragged him downtown, publicly beat him, and put him in the stocks overnight, just like Jeremiah. And about midnight, there was a sound coming from the jail cell where Paul and his traveling companion were. But they weren't complaining. You know what the sound was? It was a hymn. They were singing, praising God, rejoicing. in the middle of their suffering, just like Jesus said. A couple years later, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter back to that town, back to the Philippians, and he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. And if there were any Philippians who thought, "That's a great idea, Paul, but that seems impossible," I bet they thought twice before they said that, because they had seen Paul practice what he preached. What about you and me? When we endure suffering, how do we react? Now, let's be honest. Compared to Jeremiah and compared to Paul, we don't have that much to complain about, right? But that's not to say that it doesn't cost you to be a Christian. If you do exactly what God wants, if you are honest at work, it might cost you some money. If you do what God wants, if you speak up for the rights of unborn children, that might cost you some respect in some circles. If you define marriage the way that God defines marriage, that might cost you some pleasantness. It might make for some awkward conversations. If you've got a friend who's caught in sin, this destructive behavior, and you do what God wants, you intervene, you confront them, it might cost you a friendship. Now, to be completely honest, that's not a high price to pay compared to Jeremiah and Paul, but that's not the point. The point is, when it costs you to be a Christian, what comes out of your mouth? Do you wring your hands and worry about how much evil is in the world? Do you get online on your favorite social media platform and rage about how unfair it is to be a Christian these days? Do you sit in the atrium and talk about the sin that makes our lives hard out there and complain? If so, then our words are just as far from Jesus as Jeremiah's were. I'm in no position to throw stones here. I sometimes think it seems like the devil works extra hard on preachers, which means that I have done more complaining than my fair share. I'm in no position to throw stones. But I am in a position to encourage. Because not every Bible calls this section Jeremiah's complaint. In fact, if you opened up the Evangelical Heritage version of the Bible, you would see a different heading. It would say, Jeremiah's Confession. That word confession, we maybe don't use that as often as we use the word complain, but here's what it means. Take the cover off of your heart so that God can see what's inside. And it's true enough that God could use his X-ray vision and see what's in your heart no matter what, but it is healthy. It is good to willingly take the cover off your heart and expose what's inside. And isn't that what Jeremiah's doing here? When he says, "You deceived me, Lord," he's not hiding anything. When he says, "There was a moment where I thought, maybe I just won't preach God's word anymore, and that'll save me a lot of grief," he's not holding anything back, is he? I don't know that he's proud of the words that he said, but he's honest, that's for sure. He's taken the lid, the cover off his heart so God can see what's inside. And that's exactly what Jeremiah said, too. He said, "Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have committed my cause." And that last line, that "to you I have committed my cause," it could be translated, "to you I have uncovered my complaint." It is good. It is healthy for you and me to take the cover off our heart and let God see what's inside. "Lord, I'm sorry. So many things in this world are frustrating, and I often take out that frustration in the wrong places. And so often when I suffer and have a bad day, I am so far from rejoicing. Lord, forgive me for all the complaining." And you know what God does with complaining Christians? He stands by them. He stands right by them. If A few bad words from a Christian could deter God's love, that none of us would have any hope. But remember what Jeremiah said? In the middle of complaining, Jeremiah said, "The Lord is with me, not far from me. The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior." That word mighty is interesting because in every other passage in the Bible where that word is used, it's for a bad guy. It's for like a terrible foe or a ruthless enemy. But here, it's God who's terrible, ruthless, God who's mighty, and he's with you. See what it's teaching? If you come up against some terrible enemy in this world and it makes you complain, no matter how big and bad that enemy is, God is bigger and badder, and he's with you. So imagine the very worst possible opposition you could face. What is the worst thing in your life? Is it the pain that you're having to deal with? Is it the hole in your heart from the person you lost? Is it the recession that we're looking at, we might be entering here? Is the worst enemy you could face persecution from people who don't like you because you're a Christian? No matter how big and bad it is, the Lord is bigger, the Lord is badder, and even as you're complaining, he stands by you like a mighty warrior. The Lord stands by you like a mighty warrior because he has already taken on the worst this world has to offer. Remember when Jesus came down to this earth, he stood toe-to-toe with people who hated him. Jesus stood toe-to-toe with your sin and my sin and our complaining. He carried all those sins to the cross and did away with them once and for all. Jesus confronted even death itself. And you know how that ended. He rose victoriously from the dead like a mighty warrior so that he could make you this promise. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Yeah, when Jeremiah took the cover off his heart, there was sin in there, but there was also this fabulous trust in a God who stands by him, even if he's messing up. That trust in the God of grace, that trust is what pulled Jeremiah out of his complaining mode, and it prompted him to say this: "Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked." Look at Jeremiah go. Here he is, singing in the middle of his persecution, just like the Apostle Paul, just like Jesus said. Pretty amazing what the Lord can do in a broken heart, isn't it? So I don't know what to call this section. Some people say confession, and that's true. Some people say complaining, and that's true. It's both true because it's the mixed up thoughts of a man in the middle of his worst day. And maybe the next time you have a bad day, you'll have some mixed up thoughts too. Maybe it'll start as a complaint. But then remember Jeremiah. Open up to Jeremiah chapter 20 and see how he uncovered his complaint to the Lord. But more than that, remember Jeremiah's God, who stood by him on his worst day like a mighty warrior. And who knows? Maybe that thought, that same God of grace by your side, maybe it'll prompt you to rejoice in the middle of suffering, that you'll sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. After all, he rescues the life of the needy from the hand of the wicked. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that peace that comes from knowing he's with us, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.